In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables. The one that I would like to emphasize today is the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son. But I'd also like to look over the first two that he told to consider the context in which the third is told. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. Starting with this one. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law never. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Would he not lose the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joins it, puts it on his shoulders, and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This first parable tells us how important it is to God that sinners come to Him. Not at all to belittle the importance of those who are already saved, simply to magnify the importance of those who are not yet saved, or those who have been saved and have fallen away. The second parable Jesus tells is the parable of the lost coin. Starting in verse 8, "For suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents." Here the same idea is put forth, that even though there may be many that do not need to repent, if there is one, just one, that needs to repent, that one is as important, if not more important, than those who are already saved. Now let us look at the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." Now, many times we speculate on what his wild living might have been. But let us just imagine that we were in his place, being teenagers as many as the young preacher boys here are, and those of you who are adults, having been teenagers, you realize some of the things that younger people like to do. He may have done many of these things. Imagine the friends that he would have had over to his house for all the parties that he wanted to have. But then it says in verse 14, "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need." Now why would he be in need? He had all of the things that he had invited over for those parties that he had in his house when he had had the money. But what happened when he lost the money? He lost his so-called friends as well, because they weren't truly friends. In verse 15, "So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country to send him into his fields to feed pigs." Now imagine that this man was a Jew, and to the Jews, pigs were unclean animals, more than just the filthiness that they are to us, because they are truly disgusting animals. They roll around in the mud, and the flock that they eat, they're truly disgusting. But to the Jew, was unclean. Touching a pig could cause him to be unclean for an entire day. So it's really important for us to realize how low the son had actually stooped when he came to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the child that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Have you ever seen the things that pigs eat? Have you ever seen the flock that they eat? It looks as though it was food that had been vomited up, and yet they are willing to eat it. This man right here was with such a poor condition that he was desiring the food that the kids were eating. That was hell, what an awful state he was in. Then in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he realized where he was, and looked around him and saw the situation he was in. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of those hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. This son realized the sinfulness that he had done by going out and leaving his father. He now was sorry and was ready to go repent. He didn't feel that he had the right to be his father's son any longer. He was going to go back crying on his hands and knees, begging simply to be a servant. He had no dreams of what was about to take place. And that problem was still a long way off. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And then the brother John had a group of them the other day. The word here that says kiss him is not simply kiss him once, a little right on the cheek, but kiss him much, kiss him over and over again. He grabbed his son and hugged him and held him and kissed him on both cheeks and the forehead. All over, saying, "My son, you come home. You're home again." The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But listen to what the father said. The father said to his sons, "Put in the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." The father, even though the son had heard it from Jesus, and ran off away from home and squandered all that he had, the father still loved him and still thought of him as his son. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So he began to celebrate. In the same way, God celebrates when one who erred from the way returns, or when one who has never found the way finds it. And let's look at what the older brothers did. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The servant here tells the brother, "What happened? Now the brother should be just as happy as his father was, but he had lost the brother, and now his brother was returning." But what did the older brother say? The older brother became angry and refused to go in. How many times do we in the church, when we see someone who has at times drifted out from the world and comes forward and repents, how many times do we become upset and say, "Well, they didn't really repent"? How can we be the judge of that? We should rejoice that our brother has come home. Just as in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, in the parable of the vine workers, the vineyard workers, the man who had gone from just early in the morning, many of the workers, and then again later and later, and finally he did come just a couple of hours before dark, and he paid them all the same rate. And those who came early are sorry, disgusted by the master paying those who had only worked a couple of hours the same thing that they got paid for working all day. And many times we were the same way, and this other brother was the same way.
Just to have the same attitude he has in watching them to come.